On one particular day in the seventh grade, I found myself walking down that long, long hallway to the principal's office again. And as I walked down to the principal's office, I was thinking in my mind, I was trying to figure out which of the many things that I had done wrong had finally come to the surface. That I'd finally been found out. So as I entered in and I walked into the principal's office, Principal Roberts, who not only was the principal, but he was also a Church of Christ preacher, I could see that there was another student in there by the name of Mike. And I could tell pretty quickly that Mike was in big trouble. His face was red and he just was giving off all the signals that things weren't going very well. So as I entered in and I sat down, Mr. Roberts said, he said, "Monty, I want you to look here on my desk and I want you to look at these objects and I want you to tell me what you know about these objects that are on my desk." Well, as I looked at his desk, what I saw were several things. On his desk, there was this shaft of a piece of arrow, like you shoot out of a bow. And it's made out of fiberglass, but it had been cut short. It's a hollow tube. And then beside that hollow tube, there were several Q-tips. And those Q-tips had been cut in half. And in the end, the half end of those Q-tips, someone had inserted needles in the end of those Q-tips. And as I looked at the things that were there, I recognized that while this was a very crude blow dart gun, it was very, very functional. And I knew that it was very functional because it was my design. It was my invention. As a matter of fact, the summer before that year, I had created this balloon popper, right? And I had taught Mike how to make one for himself. I taught him that not knowing that on this particular day he would bring our balloon popper to school and during the lunchtime recess would proceed to dart several students. I know. That's how Mr. Roberts felt about it too. Well, I'm not going to continue this story and tell you about all that happened in Mr. Roberts' office because of that. What I want to tell you is more important. And that's the lesson that I learned. The lesson that I learned this particular day is that there are things that we ought not teach others. It took you that long to figure that out. Yes. There are things that we shouldn't be teaching others because they never result in anything good. As we continue in our study of Titus and this topic of doing good, I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to the first chapter of Titus. And I'm going to be reading a few scriptures, and the scriptures that I'm reading, or verses that I'm reading here, are really connected to this thought, this lesson that I learned, that we ought not teach certain things to other people. See if this doesn't resonate in the text as we read through Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Read along with me. "For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not teach. And that for the sake of dishonest gain. Even one of their own prophets had said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing's pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for anything good. Wow. I think this must be one of the most scathing indictments of any group of people that we find in the New Testament. As you look at them and you sort of key in on all of those adjectives and all of those descriptors that Paul used, you begin to see what an unholy character they have. Let me spotlight those again for you. He says that, and he calls in the many. Okay, and I'm going to be calling them the many this morning. He says they are rebellious, mere talkers, deceivers, religious mercenaries, completely corrupt in mind and conscience, detestable, disobedient. They claim to know God, but their actions deny God, and they're incapable of doing anything good. And as he goes on, he says, you know, really, they're reflecting the very common character of Cretans. They're acting and behaving like the heathen Cretans of their community. They're those people that are oftentimes liars, or he says always liars. They're evil brutes and they're lazy gluttons. But here's where it gets bad. If that wasn't bad enough, here's what he's going to say. And here's what Paul's really zoning in on and as he writes to Titus. And here's what Paul's really concerned about. He says this, they are ruining the faith of others by teaching the things they ought not teach. That's bad. And he doesn't go into a lot of details what they're teaching. But he's going to use a couple of phrases that help us to understand who these people are. He's going to say, first of all, they're of the circumcision. And he's going to say they're people that seem to be giving attention to telling other people they have to follow after the laws of men. And they're also people who are telling others you need to set your mind on and believe many Jewish myths that are out there. You see, as he says those terms, what he's doing is he's painting a picture here of people in this church that are teaching and convincing others of this, that a blessed relationship with God depends on one's ability to know right and to do right. That's who they are, and that's what they're about, and that's the things that they're teaching others, and that's how they're having this negative effect. They're saying that pleasing God requires one to practice. If you really want to be pleasing to God, you have to practice these outward physical things like circumcision of the flesh, and you need to be those people who are keeping all of our Jewish or the man-made laws of Judaism. But even beyond that, they're telling people you need to believe and give your attention to some of these Jewish myths. And my best understanding is that some of these myths were myths that exalted people like Moses and Elijah to God-like levels. And he's saying that's what they're doing in all of their teaching. And what I'm seeing here and what you can see is Paul is very upset about this. As you listen to his words, as you sort of sense his tone, he's very upset about what they're doing, and he's so upset, and the reason why he doesn't like it is because of this. Their teachings are 100% contrary to the Christian faith. That's what's wrong. That everything they're saying is completely contrary to Christianity. that is completely contrary to the Christian faith that is founded, listen, on justification through faith in Jesus Christ. Their teaching are pushing that aside, discounting that, trivializing that, and denying that truth. But you see, it's not just here at Crete this has been going on. Paul's been addressing this in other areas as well. When he writes to Rome, they're battling the same thing. And he wants to help them to understand the truth and the power of a relationship with God that's based on justification by faith. And that's why he says to them in Romans chapter 3, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." Well, Galatia is having the same problem too. And he writes to them and sort of double dips here on them. And he hits them twice with this justification. He says, "We know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law." Again, he's going to reiterate, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. You see, it's not just Crete, but it's Rome, and it's Galatia, and it's other churches that these false teachers have come in, and they have ruined the faith of people in these congregations through their teaching. And no wonder then, Paul wants Titus and these apostles that he's getting ready to appoint, he wants them to gag these men. Well, I didn't see that in the text. Yes, you did. When he said silence these men, that original word, gag them. I don't want any words coming out of their mouths. And the reason why he wants them to be gagged and he wants them to be severely rebuked is because they're robbing people of their faith. Is there anything worse than something that is robbing people of their faith and their relationship with God? You see, they're robbing them of their faith, the only faith that creates a relationship with God that is full of perfect love. It's the only faith that creates a relationship with God that is full of amazing grace. It's the only relationship with God that is full of everlasting life. And when they teach things that are contrary to that truth, it's not good. Well, okay. I see that. I see what they were dealing with some 2,000 years ago. But what does it have to do with us this morning? What does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with you? At first blush, as you just take a first glimpse at this text, we might be inclined to think that this really doesn't have a lot to do with us. But here's my point this morning. The fact is this, that the many are still out there today. Those who are out there teaching these things and promoting these things, they're still out there today robbing people of a true blessed relationship with God. There are those who are communicating things to people that are robbing them of a relationship with God that is full of perfect love and amazing grace and everlasting life. And they're doing that through all kinds of teaching that exalts commandment keeping to a level that is not biblical. And they are teaching others about personal goodness. And they're saying to others, all you need to do is just do the best you can do. You need to just be a good person. And if you're a good person, then you're going to be able to have a good relationship with God. And they're teaching things out there like religious rituals, that you need to practice certain religious rituals and go through certain religious rites in order to have a good and blessed relationship with God. And some are teaching, in order to have a good and blessed relationship with God, you're going to have to go through some men. You're going to have to go through some human mediators in order to have that relationship with God. You see, it's these things and anything that's out there that teaching their teachings point people away from Jesus and point people away from a blessed relationship with God that are things that are not good. They're not good. And because of that, because the many are still out there, and what they're doing, to say the least, is not good, God needs you. And God needs me. And it doesn't matter what our age is, young or older, He still needs us to be a today's Titus. He still needs all of us to be those today's Tituses that are still in this world today, and we're still believing and we're still speaking the truth of the gospel. That's what He needs. He needs us to be out there, to be those who still believe and are still speaking about humanity's primary need. He needs us to be speaking and telling them and believing of how all of us have the same need. I know we're different, we have different needs, but every one of us here this morning have exactly the same need. We have this need of somehow being able to finally overcome all of our sins and all of our failures in order to enjoy a relationship of renewal with God. And He needs us to be Tituses that are out there believing and teaching God's amazing love. How because of His love, which is so deep and so true, that He sent His Son from heaven to earth in order that He might redeem us and He might give us, save us from death and might give us a relationship of eternal life. That's why that verse that Jason quoted and referred to is still so important. It's still important for us to be believing and teaching other people that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish and will not suffer death, but will have everlasting life. And God still needs us to be those Tituses that are out there in the world today that are still believing and still teaching about Jesus' unifying sacrifice. How Jesus was willing Himself to sacrifice on the cross, to pay for our sins in order to reunite us to God and bring us into a relationship of peace. It's this truth, it's this need that Paul writes to the Ephesians about when he says to them, remember that at that time you were separate from God, without hope and without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have now been brought near. Praise God, through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. That's what they need to hear. That's what we need to believe. And we need to be those Tituses that are still out there believing and teaching others about Jesus' perfect righteousness. How Jesus Himself makes us perfect and makes us pure before God and enables us to enjoy a relationship of justification with God where our sins are never again held against us. That's what Paul is telling the Roman church when he says to them, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law, which they could never keep, has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And then he says, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. That's the truth that needs to still be told. And we still need to be that Titus that's out there believing and teaching Jesus everlasting forgiveness as well. How Jesus not only graced us with His forgiveness in those faith waters of baptism where we once confessed Him as Lord and repented of our sins and received that forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we need to continue to teach that, but we also need to teach that Jesus' love and forgiveness is forever. And it's everlasting. And as we continue to walk with Him in a way that honors God, then we enter into a relationship of assurance where if we keep walking in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we will have that blessed fellowship one with another. And Jesus' blood will continue to cleanse us of all our sins. You see, we need to be those Tituses finally that are out there still in the world believing and teaching and speaking to others about the Holy Spirit's superior testimony from within our own lives. In Jesus, you see, we now enjoy the supreme relationship of intimacy with God, an intimacy that was created when God Himself in His Spirit came and dwelt within us, in our hearts and in our lives. Not just to be there to take up space, but to be there as a seal and a symbol of our salvation, but to also continue to look to God from within us and cry out and say, Abba God, confirming that we are indeed His beloved children. Well, Monty, good grief, that's a lot. Man, I'm not even sure I followed all of that. Well, let me put it to you simply. There is too much to follow and too many things to take note on. Write this down. What I'm saying this morning is we still need to be believing and speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the message. The rest of the story. Remember Mike, the guy with the blow dart gun? Mike, who was sitting in the principal's office that day, today sits in a prison cell serving a 120-year sentence. He went to prison when he was 18 years old, about 7 years after this story. He spent the last 30 years in isolation, in solitary confinement. As I continue to write to him in prison, you see, he doesn't need me to teach him how to make a dart gun. He needs me to teach him how to make a relationship with God. That is the greatest good that I could ever do for him. We talk about being a Connect to church, and that's what we are. And I want to continue to encourage us in this purpose, the purpose of doing good. What a blessing it was, wasn't it, to hear Russell McLaughlin tell us last week about how our monies are blessing those people down there in the flood? How encouraging that good is to us. We need to keep doing that good. We need to get a sack. We need to take a sack and bring it back, because with these foods we help others that are in need. We do good by helping to feed those who otherwise are going to be hungry. We need to keep doing good, all types of good. But what I'm saying to us this morning is let's be those who are continuing to do the greater good. The greater good of believing and sharing and speaking about the good news of Jesus Christ with those who have yet to experience a blessed relationship with God. The message this morning is really, really simple for us to take, and that's this: keep doing the greater good. This morning, if you're not in a blessed relationship with God, He's calling to you, and He wants you to give all of the good. He wants to give you all the good that He has to give you. And He's asking for your faith. And if you'll obey Him in baptism, and He'll bless you beyond all compare. But as we go out this morning, let's be thinking about, planning on, purposing to do the greater good. If you have need to make that relationship right this morning or to share with us some struggles in your life, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?